Hallelujah. Glory. In your presence, all fear is gone. In your presence, it's where I belong. In your presence. Oh, glory. You know, the word says something very specific. It says that we live and have our being in his presence. But there is multiple presence of God. That's why there's three chambers of the tabernacle. Every chamber represents a presence, a function, and a purpose. And there's the presence of God that sustains creation. And there's the presence of God that creates creation. And that's the presence we want to stay in. That's where the Bible says, he who's in Christ, Christ means anointed presence. There's a specific presence where you and I are maintaining the state of being born again. See, when you maintain the state of being born again, you're different. You're different. But one of the things the enemy wants to do is kind of drift you back so that you begin to rely on you instead of him, instead of the Lord. People go from a saved state of being to a born-again state of being. And then they fall back to a saved state of being. That's called the outer court. And the outer court is the closest court to outer darkness. We must be living in the holy place and then the most holy place. Always. The most holy place is a place where God invites you in. The holy place is a place where you and I, as a spirit-filled believer, maintaining the presence of God that overcomes the presence of the world on a constant basis. That's where you maintain a born-again state of being if you live in the second chamber of the tabernacle. We are in perilous times. There are many things that are going on right now. Evil is getting worse. Imposters are getting worse. They don't care. They've come out of the closets. Everything seems to be coming out of the closet. Man, we must have had a closet filled with stuff, huh? Somebody opened the closet and everything just fell out. But the word tells us that many things will be unleashed from hell, and they are. And the reason why they're being unleashed from hell is because man is actually drawing them out because of wicked desires, selfish ambitions. There are three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of self, which we call the matrix. This is what we live in. This is called the kingdom of self. You can feel it. You can sense it all around you. It's the kingdom of self. It's about me, myself, and I. Then there's the kingdom of Satan, which influences and rules the kingdom of self. The kingdom of self is the arena of tangible. It's the tangible world. And then there's the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, it overcomes the kingdom of self and Satan's kingdom. So there's two unseen kingdoms. One is in the third heavenlies and beyond, which is the kingdom of God. Satan's kingdom is in the second heavenlies. And then we have the kingdom of self. Welcome to the earth. Ruled by Satan's kingdom. And those are the only way that you can overcome the presence of darkness is to be filled and dressed and possessed with the presence of God. That is the only way. See, the difference between relationship and religion, there are many people who quote scriptures. They even know the truth, but they sure ain't free at all. See, knowing the truth doesn't make you free. Practicing the truth does. And the only way that you can put the truth into practice is with the presence of God. That's the only way. Other than that, we become stinky religious. Amen? And I believe that God is doing a tremendous work and moving very quickly because time is running out. There's a short period of time of plenty, but it will stop. God is preparing. Plenty is being released. Boom, boom, boom. But then it's going to come to an end. Boom. It'll be like a door shut all of a sudden, suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. And what everybody was relying on or leaning on will be removed from them. The only thing that won't be removed are those who lean on the Lord. There are going to be many people who thought they were right with God be pretty disappointed. Because many people rely on their bank accounts or jobs and so forth and whatever thing else. Jesus says, rely on me. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean on me. So we know that wickedness and deception has increased tremendously. The word tells us that in the latter days, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, I want to emphasize something vitally important. And we've been sharing that this. Every thought is not your own. Every thought has a voice. Every voice has a presence. Has everybody got that? And that presence is either of God or not of God. Now, every thought releases an image, which releases an emotion or feeling. Every thought releases an image, which releases an emotion or a feeling. So whatever is influencing the thought, whatever presence is influencing the thought, is everybody with me? So demonic presence always wants to be fed. And how do they get fed? By emotion. Fear is an emotion that feeds a spirit. Resentment, hatred, regret, anger, bitterness, all of these things, lust, feed demonic spirits. So the influence, because every thought has a voice and every voice has a presence. The influence of whatever presence that is, that's why it even says that the love of money is the root of all evil, all evil. Well, that presence, that thought, that desire comes from a presence to release an image and an emotion to be fed. This is a constant thing that goes on. It's not a one-time event. We live in a realm where we're constantly influenced by darkness. They're trying to use mankind to be fed. And they do it very well. Well, one of the things we need to do is stop that. We need to stop feeding these spirits. That's why addiction feeds spirits. You know, addiction is lust. It means overwhelming desire. Addiction is not a disease, it's a demon. Lust is not a disease, it's a demon. We do not fight flesh and blood. We fight powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, demonic forces. And it's something that means it constantly needs to be reminded, because we've been brought up in an arena of religious state of being where they're not looking at demons. They're looking at people. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees looked at people. And they were upset when Jesus came and cast out devils. What's this new doctrine? When he laid hands on the sick and he rose the dead. They were very up. They wanted to kill him. What influence did that come from? It wasn't from God. They were supposed to be the righteous ones. But they lust for the things of the world. It disqualified them. See, so one of the things that the enemy wants to always do is disqualify you. And the worst thing that you and I can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? Everybody okay? Would you turn to Philippians chapter 4? Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. We don't do Bible studies, we do training sessions. We pull out the manual of training. Hallelujah. For many of you who do not know, I can tell you that the Word of God is true. And that's not because a man told me. It's because when I had my visitation from the Lord, one of the first things he said is, my word, my Bible, is true. Because I never believed it. I was told as a young kid by a priest that the Bible is nothing but a story. So I don't want stories. Never wanted stories. Didn't need any fairy tales. I wanted truth. Because every one of us seeks truth. Everyone desires truth. We want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. Amen? And you can only get that from the presence of God. And the Word of God. Philippians 4:4, would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is where? At hand. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Nothing-o. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. One of the things that we want is peace. Amen? We want peace. Why? Because without peace, you can't rest. When there's not peace in your life, you can't rest. That's where the enemy comes to torment. He's a tormentor. He's an accuser. He loves to remind you of your past and what you've done wrong. But the Lord is always trying to rescue us from our past and bring us into the future so that we live from the future to the present. So we live according to what He says, not what man says. We don't live according, and we don't make decisions according to how we feel or what we see. We let truth dictate our decisions, nothing else. That's called discipline. So in this, He says, be anxious. Why? What? That's the spirit that's trying to promote something. What? To get fed. Because anxiousness is actually fear. It's fear. And it moves a person out of position. When a person is anxious, they miss God. And there's no peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in all everything in all prayer, so that you have peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, you don't got to figure it out. You got to trust it out. There's a difference. And that's a place of presence of God that you trust completely. Is everybody okay? This is the peace that God gives, not the what the world gives. The world gives false peace. God gives peace, true peace. Go to Ecclesiastes 7, please. So I want to talk about some guidelines to peace this morning. Ecclesiastes. In chapter 7. So how's everybody today? Amen. We're blessed and highly flavored. That's why we're supposed to be the salt. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're blessed. And I don't care what the neighbors say about you. Hallelujah. In verse 8, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? The end of a thing is better than the what? Beginning. It's not always how you begin. It's how you what? End. Amen. That's the beauty of the Lord. I'm telling you, this was so cool. You know, you can always start brand new anytime. No matter what's going on in your life, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you can always start brand new. See, God doesn't come to fix your life. He comes to give you a new one. If you're asking Him to fix it, He ain't gonna. He only offers everything new. Why? Because He's the God who creates. So He gives you a new life. He doesn't fix your old one. So, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the what? Proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be what? Angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning things. In other words, one of the things the enemy always wants you to do is bring you to your past. That's what the complaint was with the Israelites in the wilderness. Oh, we should have stayed in Egypt. Why? Because they didn't get what they want in the presence, out in the wilderness. We should have stayed in Egypt. At least we got fed, we got this, we got that. Oh, they were complaining because they didn't have any filet mignon. They were complaining about everything, water, food, you know. And so every time they complained, God made them go around the mountain another time. Complaining never advances you. Never. God does not reward unrighteousness. He only rewards righteousness. The only one that rewards unrighteousness is the devil. Amen? Let's go to verse 15. Let's speak in it. I have seen everything in my days of what? Vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly what? Righteous. Nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. He who what? Fears God. That's that area of reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord. That's his fear. So we see that the end of something is better than the beginning. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to trust him in everything. Amen. And when you begin to trust him in everything, understanding begins to get released. In Proverbs 11. So if you're anxious, you certainly are not at peace, are you? No. In Proverbs chapter 11, is everybody there? We're going to start at verse 1. So one of the things we want to do is avoid anxiousness, don't we? Be anxious for nothing. In verse 1 in Proverbs 11, it says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Dishonest scales. There's an area where dishonest, manipulation is dishonest. Exaggeration is dishonest. Why? Because exaggeration is usually enforced to manipulate, isn't it? There are things that are dishonest that God sees that man doesn't. And he says the dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide him. I'm going to say that again. The integrity of the upright will guide him. This integrity comes from the presence of God. It's an integrity that must be established. It's a character of Christ. And it can only come from the presence of God. Because when his presence is there, his integrity is there. The integrity of the upright will guide him. But the perversity of the unfaithful will what? Destroy them. Go ahead, read it with me. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. You can't pay your way out. But righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver him. But the unfaithful will be caught by their what? By their lust. Dishonest scales. One of the things about that will always bring torment. It does not release peace. These are things that we want to avoid. Dishonesty. Amen? We want to avoid anxiousness. I know that when I was a drug addict and I was out and people were saying, you're a drug addict. And I went, no, I'm not a drug addict. I take one day off a week to recover. See, and I would be lying. You're an addict. No, I'm not. I was in denial. Denial is lying. And it wasn't until I became honest and admitted that I was an addict and I needed help that I began to get peace. Because one lie always hides another. And then that one hides another. And then that one. And then eventually it all has to come to full tuition. Because there's a price to pay, isn't there? And that price is shame. When we get caught in a lie, it's shame. But if you're walking in the presence of God, that integrity is there. That's not even a decision to lie. That's not even a part to lie. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 13. Boy, we see it right on the news all the time, don't we? I mean, watch the president speak. Slam. He needs to be snapped. Suddenly. You know, look at all the things that we hear. All of the stuff on TV that are lies. You got lies and lust. You got manipulation and everything else. Amen? Well, the word says you'll know them by the fruit, right? So if there's lying, then you know that that's a fruit. Anyone that promotes same-sex marriage and abortion has got a problem. Their problem is demonic presence. Does everybody get that? God does not promote same-sex marriage nor abortion. God did not make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Hello? Those are demon presence. That's a presence of evil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? What does it say? Examine yourself. Say it again. Examine yourself. As to whether you are in the faith. Whether you're in the what? Faith. Faith. Now remember, faith is spiritual sight. There's no such thing as blind faith. That means God spoke to you, you saw it, then you did it. That's called faith. I'm so tired of hearing, well, I'm moving in blind faith. Well, you're an idiot. Ain't no such thing as blind faith. That's called assumption. And it's called presumptuous sin. We move. When God speaks, we see it, then we do it. That's called faith. That's called spiritual sight. Examine yourselves whether you're walking in this or you're walking in assumption. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. What does the enemy want to do? Disqualify us, doesn't he? And everything we do, he wants to disqualify us. So we need to examine ourselves. Why? Because when you examine yourself and you're right with God, there's peace. When you're not right with God, there's not peace. And you know it. You know whether you have a close relationship or long distance. Some of us are writing letters to God instead of speaking to him. Go to John 14. Oh, hallelujah. Guideline to peace. Guidelines to peace, yes. John 14. John 14. Let's start somewhere. Let's start at verse 15. What does he say? If you what? If you love me. If you love me. Say it again. If you love me. How many of y'all know love is a choice? See, people always go by how they feel, but it's actually a choice. Amen? Because when somebody lies to you or hurts you or whatever, you still have a choice to love them, don't you? If you're going to go by your feelings, we'd all be in trouble. We'd all be pretty lonely, wouldn't we? Oh, hallelujah. In John 14, 15, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. In other words, then you'll trust me. If you love me, you'll trust me, and you'll do what I'm asking you to do because you'll know that my best interest is out for you. That's what the Lord is saying there. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you a what? Another helper, that he may abide in you and with you forever. The spirit of what? The spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive the spirit of truth. They can only eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't know what righteousness is. When you speak of righteousness, they call it self-righteous. They don't understand what righteousness is because they're not eating from the tree of life. Only when you eat from the tree of life can you understand righteousness. But if you're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the world, you can't understand righteousness. And listen, I don't care if you're a spirit-filled believer. The enemy can deceive you just like he deceived Eve and Adam, and they began to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet, for a period of time, they were seeing God face to face. They saw the serpent. But once they began to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they lost sight of both, God and the serpent. Then they began to rely on who? Themselves. And that's what's happening now. Many believers are turning from the tree of life and eating from the knowledge of good and evil and are losing sight of the enemy and God. And relying on themselves. And the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, hello, nor what? Knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Verse 27. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father has given gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. So he's talking about a peace that is associated with the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. This peace comes from him, not from the world. This is a peace to where the world has a peace. Let me explain a strange kind of peace. Man, you can make all your bills. Yes, well, there's peace. But there's a peace that comes from God when you can't make your bills. Has everybody got that? There's a peace that comes from God Almighty when you can't make your bills. Why? Because there's a peace that comes in complete trust. Lord, I may not make my bills, but you will. Does everybody get it? Something's going to happen. It doesn't mean you don't stop working. Hello? That doesn't mean you don't stop sowing. That doesn't mean you don't stop, doing what you're supposed to do. But I'm telling you, God always makes a way. Somehow, some way. Believe me, we still don't understand how we exist. But we do. Because we have complete trust. So when all of these bills come across my path, I'm like, whoa. Okay, Lord, they're not mine or yours. This is your house. You said you would build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, what? We labor in vain. Amen? So you might not know what to do at that moment, but you will. It will come. That's why you must maintain peace. Because then what happens is you're going to move on something you're not supposed to, and it's going to cause more damage. Amen? Fear is a killer. See, one of the things that the enemy always wants to do is what we call your first thought is worst thought. Hello? That first thought that comes to us is usually the worst thought. It's worse thinking first, you know. So what we want to do is hold that off, negate it while we have peace and wait for God to speak. Because when there's anxiousness and fear, you can't hear God. When there's anxiety and stress, you can't hear God. That's all you can hear is all everything else but God. Amen? Is everybody all right? Praise God. So he says, my peace I give to you, not of the world. Why? Because the world gives you false peace. It's called false security. Look at how many people are waiting in line for all kinds of assistance. What's going to happen when that's removed? Think about that. They rely on the government for assistance in everything. What about when that stops? Because it will come to an end. It's just a matter of time. Amen? We've got to get to a place where we have such peace that it's unlimited trust in God. Unlimited, no limitations of trust. Limitations must be removed. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. In verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. This is your government. This is the government that we're in now. This is our kingdom. This is the government. It's not the government of this world. It's the eternal government. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. He's the originator of true peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, increase of his government and peace, increase of his government and peace. Hello? There'll be no end. No end. It will continue, continue, continue. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So you and I are in a eternal government. Amen? Where there is peace. God is the provider of everything. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. But there's that place of His presence where we have to enter so we can walk in that peace. You're not going to be too peaceful in the outer court. Has everybody got that? But I'll tell you, you'll be peaceful in the holy place. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. In verse 8 and 9. The wise in heart will receive what? Commands. But a prating fool will fall. He who walks with what? Integrity walks what? Securely. Here we go again. Why? Where is that integrity released from? The presence of God. Why? You are secure in His presence. Other than that, that's why in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's in His presence. The Word tells us who can abide in the tabernacle of God and in the holy hill of God, but he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. So there's that place where God waits for me and you so we can enter into that holy place so that His integrity from His presence is released to me and you, and we have peace. We have such peace. Amen. He who walks with integrity walks securely, and he who perverts his ways will become what? None. He will become known. Now listen, this is again the true peace. Walking in integrity is a secure place of God's presence. Integrity is established with humility, honor, and respect. Humility, being humble, honor, and respect. These are requirements that causes me and you to submit to God in everything. It's called submission to God, submitting to God. And everything we do, we are to submit to Him. That's why He says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, in everything you do. If we're not acknowledging Him in the things that we're doing, then you won't have peace. What you'll be is prideful. And where there's pride, there's torment. In Proverbs 28, verse 25. It says what? He who is of a proud heart stirs up what? Strife. You know why they stir up strife? Because they're still fighting for their life. But he who trusts in the Lord will be what? Prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Whoever walks wisely will be what? Delivered. See, so you know that you're going to be delivered. You have peace. No matter what your circumstances are, you know God's going to make a way. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what your neighbors say. It doesn't matter what your email says or your text or anything else. It doesn't matter. Why? Because what man says has nothing to do with what God says. And when you're into that place, you have peace. And because you have that peace, you're able to have rest. Why? Because He knows it all. You know, people may call you a liar, may call you whatever. One of the things that you always stand is God knows. Even when I was a world, I was used to say that saying, God knows. And He did know, and I knew that He did know, believe me. He knew when I was lying. God's lying. You know I'm lying, man. I'm messed up. You know it. I know it. I know you know it. Can you do something about it? He did. Praise God. Put me in the Holy Ghost washer and then in the dryer. I came out with a new heart, a new spirit, and new garments. James chapter 4. God knows. But you know, demons know too. They know whether you know or not. James chapter 4. And they will challenge you. God doesn't test you. He doesn't have to. Demons are always challenging you. They want to know whether your trust is in God or in you. And if they can move your trust in anything else, they know they can torment you. And if they can torment you, they can cause you to react. If you react, then they can get fed. Man, I had some real fat demons around me when I was a kid. They were huge. I used to feed them all the time. Even when I was an adult. Praise God. When I was a child, I thought as a child. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? But he gives more what? Grace. That means God's plan of escape. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? Proud. But gives what? Grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. To submit to the presence of God and his character, it brings an integrity to me and you. Amen? But again, it enables us also to resist the devil, because only his presence can overcome the presence of evil. That's it. Only his presence. Amen? And remember, the sword of the Spirit is because it's the Word of God that's backed up by the presence of God. That's what's called the sword of the Spirit. Without the presence of God, you're throwing nothing but seeds at the devil, and it ain't really affecting them. We see then in this presence, there's the integrity, which is a security in Christ. And those three areas of respect, honor, and humility guide us in peace all the time. In Romans chapter 7. So we want to put away false peace, which is false security. We want to put away these things. In verse 15, Romans 7:15. Would you read it with me, please? For what I am doing, I do not understand, and what I will to do, that I do not practice. Sound familiar? No. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the old man, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind or my spirit, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my spirit, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So what's he saying here then? It's very powerful, because one of the things he's talking about is there's a part of me that wants to rebel. It's always wanting to rebel towards the things of God. I want to take control in my own self. And when I rebel and take control of my own self, there's not peace. It's false security, false peace. But only through the presence of God, through Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of his true character can establish a guideline to peace. That's it. Respect, honor, and humility. Why? Because those things are submission to God. Let me share something with you. Love is expressed through submission. If you love him, you'll submit to him. Worship is an expression of love to God. That's why it's the greatest way that we can say thank you and I love you, is to worship him. Love is expressed by submission. Amen? That's why when we submit to God, we're able to resist the devil. Do you know that there is no love in the kingdom of darkness? None. They serve one another, and there is no reward with love. None. No love. They don't know what love is. Demons don't know what love is. They only know what lust is. So they're always wanting, 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 because they have no love. Satan's kingdom has no love in it. None whatsoever. It's lust, hatred, pride, self, arrogance. In Ephesians 4, we're almost done, about 40 more scriptures and we'll be good. How many of y'all know love is a choice? Amen. Look, you can read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. It never talks about a feeling. Ephesians 4:25. Is everybody there? Therefore, putting away lying. Hello. Putting away what? Putting away lying. Putting away false peace. Putting away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to who? The devil. Give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the presence of God. Why? Because when you do, you lose peace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave me in you. So we need to put away this false peace, this lying, deceiving, manipulating, and exchange it for truth, God's presence, and that peace. Peace. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. And then we'll have one more scripture left. God willing. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Guidelines to peace. In verse 12. Let's speak it together. Colossians 3 verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Through who? Through him. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us what? Love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Does everybody see that? That we might what? Live through him. Live through him. You know, one of the things that the Lord had revealed to me, because so many times we always got strange questions. You know, well, Lord, why did you create man? I got a strange answer one day. He wanted to experience multiple character of humanity. He wanted to express himself. See, it says, live through him. And each and every one is a part of him. We have our own identity, but it was created by him. That identity in me and you, that certain character that's in you, he created because he wanted to experience it. Does everybody understand that? Every one of us has a specific character. We're all different. None of us are the same, are we? Even twins are not the same. There's certain characters that are the same, but there's something different in each and every one. But every one of us is a spirit, aren't we? And God is spirit. So out of his spirit, all humanity is a character, a part of him that he wanted to experience. And he created man to be his offsprings so that they could experience not only their own identity, character could experience his love, but he could experience love that he created in them. Does everybody get that? So that's why from when we are born again of the Spirit, we're actually living through him, because it's his life here, not ours. Amen? It's his life. Only he creates life and can take it. So every one of us has a specific part of God and character that he wanted to release to experience, because he's God. and he can do anything he wants, and he can experience anything he wants. But everything he does is in love, because he is love. And that's what that experience is all about. That's what all creation is about, love. Amen? In verse 10, would you read it with me? In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his what? His Spirit. Do you understand it? He has given us of his what? His Spirit, his presence, which is a specific character that he created for me and you. And we have, verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has what? Has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Why? Because he's expressing himself in me and you as we express him through him. Try and figure that one out. And verse 18. There is what? No fear. There's what? No fear. No fear. In what? In love. So if there's no fear in love, then when God's perfect love is there, it's because his presence is there, isn't it? Is there a peace in that presence then? Yes. Why? Because you're walking in his love. You're walking in his integrity. You're walking in his presence. And where he's always constantly expressing himself. Love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves what? Torment, not peace. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's why the word says, feed your enemy. Amen? Clothe your enemy. What are we doing? We're expressing the love of God. Everything is about expressing it. As you walk in the place of expressing God's love by his presence, you will have peace. Because that is an integrity that we must maintain. And it's established by guidelines of walking in humility, respect, and honor. That means being honest, removing lying, and removing anything that has a form of wickedness in our life, where we are standing before God with a pure heart and clean hands. And you will have peace no matter what you're going through. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted in each and every one, that we may have that peace that surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and minds. Lord, let yourself be so manifested in us and through us. Express yourself that others may see you in us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.